it's definitely been an evolving concept. But one of the things we found in our study, which came out of the conference that we did, is that there's quite a bit of definition and clarity that's really come about in the last year or two, which is good news. And the key is tying it back to operational problems that face the military now and in the future, and operational concepts that allow you to overcome those problems and, in fact, to impose new and complex challenges on potential adversaries that they aren't prepared to deal with. In other words, you get an advantage, you get an overmatch. So that's what Third Offset is about. So there's a technological component to it, but ultimately it's about these operational problems that are confronting the modern military and the new ways in which we're going to overcome them. And the technology ultimately serves simply to enable that. And so while the technology has often been the focus, it's this operational side that's really more significant. And I'm encouraged that on the operational concept side, there's been a lot of good work done. And you see, different approaches that have come out of the services, but the complementary and significant approaches. And one example is, the Navy's approach to distributed lethality. Another is the Army's approach, which I think the Air Force has also embraced, what they call multi-domain operations. And so these are really giving a lot of underpinning to what does Third Offset mean. And that tells the folks on the acquisition side of the house, where I'm, have spent most of my career, what technologies they need to be shooting for what end, to what purpose, what are they trying to get done? And it's enabling these operational concepts through things like, artificial intelligence, machine learning, human-machine combat teaming, I think this is starting to coalesce into something that has real depth and meaning.
Now, I wanted to move to DIUX and sort of the ways that Defense Department is reaching out to industry to try and harness these different sorts of technologies and concepts. Is DIUX working, and what other kind of outreach initiatives does Department of Defense use to get these Third Offset technologies? And just as a reminder for our listeners, DIUX is the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental.
Well, I think DIUX is playing an important role. It certainly bears mentioning that DIUX is one piece of the puzzle. And so it's not going to solve the Third Offset problem by itself. There's a lot to that approach. And so there's a role in that for traditional defense suppliers, there's a role in it for non-traditional suppliers, and there's different ways of leveraging the capabilities of all of those actors to help make this Third Offset approach work. And of course, acknowledging that the new administration may come up with different terminology. But again, I think it's these operational concepts that are going to be the foundation that I think is definitely going to transition into the Trump administration. And so they may come up with new words to describe what they're trying to do, but enabling those new operational concepts, I think, is the key. And DIUX's role in that is to be a conduit to non-traditional players, or to maybe traditional players who establish new divisions or business units that want to behave more like, a non-traditional or, Silicon Valley-type player. And the DIUX is establishing channels of communication and now increasingly also channels for non-traditional contracting approaches that allow these folks to engage with the Department of Defense in different ways, different business models that I think ultimately and hopefully is going to allow for new kinds of solutions to emerge on the business side, on the technical side.
When it comes to industry response to something like DIUX, not only that, but also other outreaches from Defense Department, what kind of response have they gotten at this point? I know that DIUX did about $30 million last year in business, but, what other kind of telltale signs are we seeing from industry?
Well, I think you've seen a lot of interesting activity within non-traditional industry and traditional industry. And of course, one thing I always like to point to is there is a crowd that says, hey, Silicon Valley is never going to work with DOD. And there may be some in Silicon Valley for whom that is true. They aren't going to work with DoD.
Right.
And it's always something to keep an eye on. I think we shouldn't be complacent ever about the willingness of innovators to work with DoD. That's something to keep an eye on. But having said that, you know, to kind of circling back to the fact that we had the space security conference at CSIS yesterday, you know, what you see is there's innovative companies who are working with DoD. And, you know, SpaceX disrupting the space launch industry is an incredibly significant fact that, you know, you have this company, definitely non-traditional, but that has, you know, come to see that working with the U.S. government, both NASA and DoD, is important. And I like to say, you know, if the space launch market can be disrupted, then there is no industry anywhere in the national security space that can't also be disrupted. And that means I think there's going to be players in the non-traditional space who are going to have interest in working with the government. And that's great. That's something we want to encourage. It's something we want to embrace and take advantage of.
Right. And kind of in that same vein, I wanted to ask, what is the initiative for some companies to actually work with the government? You know, I mean, you said that some companies are thinking, you know, why do I need to work with the government? I've got a great profit coming in just from the private side of things. What's the initiative there, and what's the profit potential?
Well, I think you have to start with what it's not, right? It's not a huge market. It's actually a very small market. From the perspective of most of these companies, you know, they're looking at global commercial markets that are in the, you know, multi-billion, potentially trillions of dollars in scope. And the defense market ultimately is for most of these folks, a pretty small market. It's not ever going to drive the core of their business case if they're looking to do, you know, to be these global commercial players. But having said that, what really draws people in is the fact that the Department of Defense, for better or for worse, has some of the most interesting problems to solve. And a lot of these folks, yeah, they're in business because they want to make money, but ultimately they're in business because, you know, they're interested in the work they're doing, and they find that the technology that they're pursuing excites them, you know, at a level of just intellectual interest. So never losing sight of the fact that, yeah, it's about money at the end of the day. The fact that the Department of Defense has the most interesting operational technological problems to solve is ultimately what brings people to the table to work on it. And I think that's the case with SpaceX, and it's going to be the case with a lot of other innovative companies that you see that have been interested in working with the Department of Defense in the robotics space, in the artificial intelligence space, the machine learning space. These are the kinds of things where the problems the Department of Defense has simply drives a need for a level of complexity that a lot of the rest of the world doesn't do in quite the same way.